Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Today's episode of the show is one of my favorite sports moments I've learned about in quite a while. I miss this live. You guys know what it is about me in college basketball. I don't really get down, but I appreciate a good sports moment. I never saw the highlights of this play after it happened, and I didn't really even understand this moment until recently. On January 23rd, 2017, Dennis Smith Jr. led the NC State Wolfpack into Durham to play the Duke Blue Devils at Cameron Indoor. Duke got out big, NC State came back, but Dennis Smith Jr. was brilliant down the stretch in the second half. Honestly, he was brilliant. Like, almost like he's the one good, that good. He was phenomenal. Completely orchestrated the last 5 minutes of the game and put NC State ahead for good. But that's not the moment we're here to judge. What happened at the end of the game is, this is a good one. Right here on First Ballot. Welcome to First Ballot, the podcast that celebrates the moments in sports that really matter and decides if they're good enough for the First Ballot Hall of Fame. We don't just induct great sports moments. I mean, we do induct great sports moments, but it's not just about great sports moments. We put in the moments that matter, the first ballot moments. We don't put shit in our Hall of Fame. That's what other Hall of Fame podcasts do, not this one. I am your host, Neil, the long-lost Gasol brother, the podcast Jordan Clarkson, half Jollibee, half the Jewish half of Jordan Farmar. I'm not the biggest Lakers fan. I am the best Lakers fan. I am the spot where the circles of Anthony Mason, Luke Walton, and Draymond Green intersect, where they lay over each other. That's me, Mr. Not Always Right, but Never Ever Wrong, coming to you live from the Shaquille O'Neal Office Depot, big and tall, executive suite, desk chair. And please remember, I'm not in this chair because I'm big. I'm in it because I'm tall. And joining me today is someone special. You loved this episode of this podcast when we debated and ultimately inducted the invention of the t-shirt cannon. It's the guy who appeared in the Michael Jordan's Hanes commercial where Michael Jordan had the Hitler mustache. Plus, he's one of my dear friends. And today, he's our special guest co-host. It's Mr. Michael Torpy. Torp, how are you?
Hey. I'm good, brother. I'm really good. I am not in a big and tall chair because I am neither. I'm on a yoga ball.
You're very diminutive. Yes. Very short.
Very slight, but I like to keep my core engaged.
Almost not even masculine. Wait a minute. Are you sitting on a ball thing? What did you say?
Yoga ball, yes.
Are you really? Yeah, can I see it? Can you tilt your camera down? You're going to lift it up.
I can lift it up. It's filled with air, so it's easy to lift.
Is this a real thing that you do? Do you really sit on this to keep your core engaged?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Core strength is right. Just something okay. My Here family has always valued.
You are the first guest host of this podcast. How does that feel? You must feel great.
Really good, you know? Really good, really, really excited, very honored, and just excited to add to the legacy, you know?
It's great to have you on. Let's give him a let's go.
Let's go!
All right, Torpy on as the co-host. I really brought you a great episode where I feel like your sort of special brand of stupidity is going to be really additive here, and I appreciate your time.
Can't wait.
Today's episode of the First Ballot Hall of Fame podcast is brought to you by Ball is Life and the Ball is Life Podcast Network. Follow at Ball is Life on all platforms. Today's episode of the podcast could be sponsored by, the show could be sponsored by Sunny Side Up Eggs. A question for you, Michael Torpy. Do you know what a Sunny Side Up Egg is? Do you know what Sunny Side Up means?
As long as this isn't some sort of like slang that's supposed to make me look stupid, no. Yes.
Okay, what is a sunny side up egg?
It is when you crack an egg right. into a pan yes. and you cook, you want those whites cooked,
right.
but you want that yolk runny. You're not flipping it. You're not going over easy.
That's right.
We're not over easy. We're sunny up.
Isn't it amazing that we as people we've all, in this country at least, we have all accepted the term sunny side up. Everyone knows what it means. Someone named it that. I don't know who named it that, but a branding genius, because everyone in the country knows what that means. I mean, I suppose yeah. there are like kids that don't know, but if you eat food, if you eat eggs, if you know anything about, if you choose the way you cook your eggs, you know what sunny side up means, and everyone accepts yes. it. Every yes. cook in the country knows what sunny side up means. I don't know how that spread, because it spread a long time ago. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, it's a different type of naming than the other eggs, right? Scrambled eggs. Well, what are they? They're scrambled.
Exactly.
Okay. Over easy. We're flipping it over. Right. We're cooking both sides a little bit. Sunny side up. I mean, I haven't thought about who named it. I think it was a child.
It's very cute.
It's so pure and innocent that somebody, probably some, you know, chef one day was like, here's your runner. Here's your gooper. And the kid was like, why are you calling this a gooper? And right. he was like, because it goops everywhere.
Right.
Like, but dad, that's the sunny side.
That's right.
And then the father's heart melted and it's
stuck. And then he somehow got the word out to everyone. Yeah. I feel like it had to have been somebody that ran a diner and they put it on the menu as a sunny side up. And then everybody was like, 100%, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah. The only other thing that's, I think, gotten into the household so much is Moons Over Miami.
Right.
You know, I call every day at home. I'm saying, can I get a Moons Over Miami?
Right.
Kids, do you want Moons Over Miami?
Right. I'll call food that isn't Moons Over Miami, Moons Over Miami.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kids, we're doing Moons Over Miami tonight. What version? Pizza.
Pizza. I knew you were going to say pizza.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great point. Listen, the point is the sunny side egg people can, you know, give me some money and I'll promote their product. All right. Dennis Smith Jr.'s dunk against Duke University is without question a great sports moment, but is it a first ballot Hall of Famer? We have to decide that today, and here to do it with us is a great guest. He's a creative lead at Google. You know that company. You've heard of Google. But I know him as one of my favorite graphic designers. He's a longtime NBA Twitter and Tumblr legend, and he's one of this podcast's great followers. He actually executive produced the Jake 1 episode with Isaiah Thomas's University of Washington game winner, and he picked and introduced me to this moment, this Dennis Smith Jr. dunk that I had not ever seen prior because I don't watch college basketball. It's Seattle's finest, the talented Matthew Hollister. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having me, Neil. Michael, great to meet you.
Welcome, Matt.
Thanks.
You must be so excited to meet me and the guy from the Michael Jordan's Hanes commercial.
Truly. I mean, as a lifelong NBA fan, that is a moment that sticks out in my mind.
Now, do you
I appreciate that, Matt. Thank you. Because Neil only brings it up to tease me, but you understand the actual cultural importance.
I'm talking not to her. Matt, do you know, other than the Hanes spots, and I want you to be honest, he can take it if the answer is no. Do you know any of Michael Torpy's other work other than that Hanes spot?
You know, I know Michael's work in Veep, and I've definitely, like, I was thinking earlier this morning, like, I might not know from a lot of shows, but I know his voice. I know his voice from, like, all kinds of different stuff, so.
Hey now, I appreciate that. Shout out to the Pipes. Thank you,
Matt. We've messaged and texted a lot. I gotta be honest, this isn't what I thought you look like. I'm not thrilled with your face.
Believe me, neither am I.
Okay. Why don't you table set for us? What is your favorite sport, your favorite team, and your favorite athlete of all time?
Obviously, my favorite sport is 100% basketball. It's almost at this point the only sport I pay attention to or care about at all. Team stuff is weird. I grew up in like rural Pennsylvania, not close to anything. So I didn't really have a team growing up. I spent a long time in New York. I love the Knicks then. I don't live there anymore. The past 10 years, I've been a season ticket holder for the University of Washington Husky basketball team. Wow. Brutal, but I'm going to have to say that's my team. I'm there every game. I'm getting my teeth kicked in twice a week.
Wait. Hold on. Before we
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry, Matt. My goodness.
Your favorite athlete. I didn't know that. So you're from Pennsylvania, but then you were in New York. Because I think of you as a Seattle guy, but it must be because you went to UW and now you live there.
No, I went to school in Brooklyn, New York at Pratt Institute.
So you, wait a minute. Why do you have season tickets to the University of Washington Huskies?
Because it's the best show in town. It's the only basketball team we have in Seattle.
You did not go to the University of Washington?
No.
I had no idea.
No.
That's fascinating to me that you would, I guess you're right, it's the only basketball team there, but that you would, do you own University of Washington hats or shirts or anything?
No.
No, okay. So you're really just a basketball guy and that's where you can watch basketball.
Exactly.
Got it. Do you think you would own University of Washington season tickets if the Supersonics were still there?
No.
Do you think you'd have Supersonics tickets?
Yeah. I think I would be going in on a packet of tickets for the Sonics instead.
Do you believe the Sonics will come back?
I generally think they'll be back in the next few years. Yeah.
This is great. This is exciting. Okay. Who's your favorite athlete of all time?
It's going to be Rasheed Wallace.
Wow.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh.
An attitude pick.
Yeah. Playing with an edge. I just remember being a kid. I saw him in Slam Magazine. He was doing a reverse dunk. He had the red Simon Gratz uniform on. He was wearing Air Raids, which, I mean, forget it. Then he's at University of North Carolina wearing that blue. He's dunking on everyone so hard. He's screaming at everyone. They're kicking the hell out of everybody. Rasheed Wallace.
You seem like a Slam Magazine guy.
Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I saw the first issue of Slam Magazine. I think I was in seventh grade science class.
Yes.
And this girl slipped it out of her backpack. Oh, we were supposed to be studying. And I could not control myself out loud. I said, give me that.
Yeah.
And oh, my God.
I had never seen it before. And it was the Larry Johnson cover.
Oh, I was just going to ask. The Larry Johnson cover. Grandmama, fantastic edition of Slam Mag. And the Air Raids, those are – who wore the Air Raids initially? Like, whose shoes were the Air Raids? Were those Bo Jackson?
Tim Hardaway with that crazy Spike Lee commercial. Incredible.
Is that true?
I don't know if he ever wore them in a game, though. But he was in the ad. I got skills, Tim Hardaway. I did save up enough money in my mid-20s to finally buy myself a pair, and they were heavy.
Yeah,
and I tried to play in those, and it did not go great.
They seem heavy, and they look heavy, and I like that. I like when shoes look clunky and lunky, and I think about like 90s big men wearing them, and I really enjoy that. Okay. We have to dive into our moment. We're going to dive right in because there's a lot of stuff to talk about in this episode. It's a fantastic.
Can I ask one question? Yes, Neil, can I ask one question? Yeah, Matt, in your line of work, do you, if you were to chart out like favorite sports in from designers, does it lean a certain way?
It leans outside of sports for sure.
The favorite sport
for a designer is like naming the font on the menu, or I'm just wondering
if there'd be if you had to pick a sport, if it would lean basketball, just the way you speak about like the design elements of these sneakers and these magazines. It feels like basketball had that element earlier than other sports. Like now baseball finally cares about cleats and doing more interesting things, spicing up jerseys more. Football is still very classic. But if you were going to, I don't know, if you personally were so interested in changing design and design elements, I wonder if there's something that pushes you more towards basketball, the ever-changing sneaker culture, if that makes it more appealing.
Well, let me throw a hat in the ring too. And it's the hat is the helmet of the NFL, which I think might be the signature design element in any sports thing. To design a helmet, the color, the logo, the placement, the size, the face mask size, I think there's a guy on Twitter. I don't remember what his name is. It's like football fashion or something. I don't know when I started. I followed him like 6 months ago, and he is maybe one of my favorite. He's in like my top five favorite Twitter followers of all time, just because he posts NFL jerseys and goes, basically, how great is this jersey? And I go, it's so great. It's so fantastic. I really enjoy looking at them. To me, the jerseys, but particularly the helmet of NFL, that I think that's got to be a clubhouse leader. That's my clubhouse leader. And I like design and love basketball, but I'm going football. Your answer, Matt.
Well, I'm going to go a little bit deeper beyond just sort of the graphic nature of the sport, I do think the way the sport of basketball works leans itself into a person's creativity. Because when you have the ball, you can make other people do things, or you can do something that you know is going to have another effect. Right. And there's, I don't know that football or baseball have that kind of element where when you have the ball, not only are you in charge of what's happening, I think that's relevant in most sports, but you can control what others are doing amongst a common goal, especially if everyone has like a common knowledge of how to play. Yeah. Right.
You're conducting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is a lot of fun. And for the same way, football is like the sport where I feel like you go, I'm going to impose my will. This is the moment where I'm going to take over physically and I'm going to dominate. And like you can do it in other sports as well, pitchers and basketball teams, certainly. But there's something about football just going, I'm setting up my line and I'm running straight down your throat. Those are the beautiful differences in sports. But I tend to agree with you on basketball. It's a great point. Let's dive into our moment. There's a lot to talk about. We have to decide whether Dennis Smith Jr.'s dunk against Duke University goes into our first ballot Hall of Fame. To do that, we have to go through our Hall of Fame credentials. Those are the categories by which we judge our moment. The first credential today, I'm going a little bit different. It's the eye test. I want to know what you saw in this moment, and specifically, Matt, what made you pick this moment for your episode?
What I saw in this moment is a young man going a trillion miles an hour with full knowledge that the game has ended, hammering, spiking a dunk as hard as possible. It bounces off his head and is gone forever.
Is that true?
I took screenshots last night rewatching this moment. He is one step over half court looking up. He's listening to the buzzer sound. There's a red light on the backboard notating that the game has ended. His teammates are coming off the bench. He takes two more dribbles and dunks it as hard as he can. It's the best. I get so excited every time. I love watching it. I mean, we'll talk more about dunks, but oh boy.
It really
just the defiance.
Is. It really is. Very, very good. I had never seen this again. I don't watch college basketball. Torp, do you watch college basketball?
I used to as a child, but I've since grown.
Yeah. when I think of college basketball, I think of student films. That's what it is. The college basketball student films, NBA is Hollywood motion pictures. That's the way it works in my brain. I don't really watch college basketball, so I had not seen this moment. When you mentioned this moment to me, you were like, what about the Dennis Smith Jr. dunk against Duke? I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I go watch the clip and laugh so hard. I was like, absolutely, that's the episode we're doing. It's so funny. Did you see this moment live? How did you see this play?
This is in...
It's 2017?
2017. I did not see it live.
It's pretty good then, because the framing of this dunk, and seemingly across all media, like if you look this up, if you find old articles, it's all like he punctuated the game with this dunk, but it didn't count. It didn't count. It was after the buzzer. It didn't count, didn't count, didn't count. It was sort of dismissed as not a moment of attitude after the buzzer. It was always phrased as like he had this dunk, but it didn't count. Like it was a throwaway. Mm-hmm. Through the media, it was a throwaway, which is something I actually hold against this media. And I guess we will become the media that puts this in the proper light. What he did was an act of defiance. It was an act of sheer attitude, and was not just a dunk that happened after the buzzer, true or false.
Yeah, absolutely true. In fact, I watched like a local newscast from Raleigh the night this happened. And do you know what highlight they led the sports report with? Dennis Smith Jr. hammering a dunk well after the game had ended. It was the amazing first, second, and last highlight they showed.
I am actually the best in the world at telling you what word you should use to describe a dunk. Do you know what I'm saying? So like when a guy dunks a basketball, I am the best in the world at telling you what that should be called. Like you could call it a dunk. You could call it a slam dunk. You could call it a boof. You could call it whatever. What are the words you two would use to describe that dunk? And then I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the kids say these days. But there's something about, I would say he rips it.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a really good one. I want to be clear. That's very good. I'm smiling as I think about it. He really rips it. He really rips that dunk. That's very good. Very good submission, Torpy. Great co-hosting so far. Matt, it's your turn. Mm-hmm. What is the word you'd use to describe that dunk, that move, that finish?
To me, this is an absolute spike.
Yeah, you said spike earlier. I'm glad you came back to it. I'm glad you came back to it. You said it earlier. I appreciate it earlier. I don't often use that word or hear that word in reference to dunks. I'm not going to call that a spike. I'm not going to call it a rip, although I think the rip is great. It is a yank. It's an absolute yank. He yanks that one. It's an absolute yank. I'm the best at deciding that, and I'm glad that I decided it here. The next credential is, again, strangely, burning questions. Here are the burning questions. The answer to these questions could decide whether this moment goes into the First Bell Hall of Fame. And the question to you, Matt, is, you already sort of spoke to this. I just want to ask, I want to re-ask it. I want to get to Torpy's thoughts. Is there any chance that Dennis Smith Jr. thought he could get that dunk off in time? Was that a legitimate attempt to score? I believe it's funnier if it's not legit. If it's just him being like, fuck you, way, way funnier, way more attitude, really raises my enjoyment level. But if he's trying to score the basketball to increase the point differential in this game, maybe it's not as high. Is there any chance that's a legitimate attempt to score?
Absolutely not. There's 0% chance. Jason Tatum dribbles the ball off his foot at the opposite elbow of the court with 2 seconds left. Right. The other NC State players don't react like they're playing. They start to celebrate.
Right.
Other players have their arms in the air. The game is over. Dennis Smith Jr. then chases the ball down.
Got it.
And goes from past half court all the way to the dunk. And again, I have screenshots here of him above the three-point line, and the players behind him are just celebrating, arms in the air.
Got it. So you believe he knew once he got to the loose ball, he knew the game was over.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would like you to send those screenshots my way. We'll post them on our social at First Ballot HOF on Instagram, at First Ballot Pod on Twitter. I realize those should be the same. Torpy, do you think that's a legitimate attempt to score?
No, I don't. I would question if he was even playing basketball anymore. He was in a different plane of existence, right? Like he had a couple items in front of him with which to express his disgust at Duke University. And he used what was available
to him
to try to create some sort of darkness and wreak havoc. So I don't think he was playing basketball anymore.
That's really great. That's really good.
I do think it's worth pointing out NC State had lost their previous 16 games at Cameron Indoor, spanning over 22 years. Dennis Smith Jr. had never seen NC State win a game at Duke his entire life.
Wow.
So there's some emphasis. There's some history.
Absolutely.
That's really
forcing
good.
Him.
Is Dennis Smith Jr. must be from North Carolina?
He is. He is from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Amazing. I wonder if he wanted to go to Duke or Carolina and then only got into NC State. That would actually, like, if he was like, I hate those schools because they didn't let me in. I should have done that research.
Well, I did that research. Oh! He's a five-star recruit. He's a five-star recruit. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of North Carolina.
Wow.
He was the top-ranked point guard in the country. And he had offers from every school in the ACC as well as every major school in the country. He chose NC State. There are some news stories that happened later on that kind of frame why he went to NC State.
Somebody gave him a little cash.
Which was, there was some financial emphasis, I think, in the decision.
Hey, whatever you got to do. Listen, whatever
that's
do.
That's great.
That is a blast. And I'd also say, even if you're the number one guy and you go to NC State, and we'll get to the record of how NC State did this season in our analytics, they didn't do very well. You could make the argument that going to NC State did not help his NBA draft stock. So him choosing NC State maybe had there was a bit of a personal reason as well, which would add to the animus, which would add to my enjoyment of this moment. I do like the forensic, the sort of Zapruder film breakdown that you did. I did not look at it the same way. I looked at his face in the great photo, which we'll mention later on in this podcast. I looked at his face and is his tongue wagging? Like, I wanted to see like his eyes wide open, but he seems pretty focused on the rim, which made me think, like, did he think there's a chance that he's going to dunk and then they're going to get the ball back and they're going to have to foul and extend the game, et cetera, et cetera. I want to believe that he knows 100% the game's over and he's dunking it to say F you. Like, it's a human middle finger. That's what I enjoy. And if you guys think that's what happened, then we'll move on.
Yeah, I think it's physically impossible that anything else happened in this moment.
All right, that's good. That's fantastic to hear. Okay, the next credentials are analytics. These are the numbers, the stats. People love them. I don't get it, but people love them. Let me go through some of the stats. You guys react as you have reactions. Duke was the 17th-ranked team in the country at the time, 15-5, 3-4 in the ACC. NC State was unranked with a 14-7 record, 3-5 in the conference. NC State had lost four of their last five games before this upset over Duke. And this was NC State, as Matt said, their first win at Duke since 1995. NC State finished the season 15-17. They were 14-7 coming in. Mm-hmm. They were 13-7 coming in. They win this game. They finish 15-7. They lost 10 of their last 11 games. If that ain't the basketball gods talking, I don't know what is.
Yeah, they hit conference play and got crushed. I think this season, 9 teams from the ACC made the NCAA tournament. That's a gauntlet of teams. So,
Neil, are you saying the basketball gods punished them?
Yes.
That's not a god I believe in.
No.
I don't want to worship that god.
That's an Old Testament.
That's not. That's not my god. Okay, the god that I love, he would celebrate this moment.
I appreciate that. That's your first ballot god, and I appreciate that you're representing the show. And I agree with you. That's not a god that I want to believe in, but I do believe that is the basketball god. Well, it's the basketball gods. I believe the basketball gods punished the. I think here's what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if there's any doubt left in anyone's mind that was a legitimate chance to score, which then, in my opinion, again, makes this less funny. If we believe that this was an attempt to go screw you, this is my middle finger to you, all of you Duke kids, all of you rich kids that are at Duke, all of the rich assholes, you know, the Grayson Allens, the JJ Reddicks, all the pricks, the Christian Leitners, all the pricks that played at Duke for you know, years and years and years, decades and decades. This is Dennis Smith Jr.'s middle finger. To have them then punished and lose 10 of their next 11 games, that to me, that leads me to believe that that was a middle finger. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Duke won the 7 straight after this, the start contest. They won.
God damn it.
They won their conference tournament before losing to South Carolina in the tournament. Duke was up 6 at the half, and the Wolfpack came back to win this game. I do also want to take – we were talking about branding early on. I want to take a second to recognize how good, maybe even how great, the nickname NC State Wolfpack is. Mm-hmm. Can we get behind that, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even a singular animal. The entire pack. It's a genre. Like, what is this? It's a gang of animals?
Yeah. They just come up over a hill.
That's right.
Into the valley. Hunters. And just devour.
Hunters.
Yeah.
It's I also like that it's NC State. No one calls them North Carolina State. No one calls them the North Carolina State Wolfpack. They are the NC State Wolfpack. I just think that sounds fantastic and it's additive here.
And they've got that one retro logo that wolf is looking rabid. He's a real son of a bitch.
It's like a real, like the wolf that blew the house down, the Three Little Pig wolf, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's wearing a hat. He's wearing that. He's like, it's not even enough that I represent NC State. I also have to wear their hat that's team colored and branded.
Mm-hmm. What is that hat? What is that hat?
It looks like a
he just got kicked out of the Navy.
He got kicked out of the Navy.
He got kicked out of the Navy.
It is a great hat. I wonder, do they sell that hat? They must. They must sell that hat.
They'll start after they hear this.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. You guys want to make a little bit of money? Could NC State, could I introduce you? Could I interest you in a little bit of money, a little bit of American money, perhaps an endless stream of American money coming into your doors? Start selling that fucking hubcap hat. 100%.
It's like the kids at Indiana. They wear the red and white striped pants. Those look ridiculous. Yes. You get an NC State kid in one of these hats. They're
Mr. TikTok Cool ready. 100% TikTok ready, Mr. Cool. That kid's gonna post the TikTok, and everybody's gonna go look at Mr. Cool and that fucking hubcap hat. Mm-hmm. I'm dying to know. I'm not gonna look it up. EJ, why don't you look up? Try and find by the end of this episode if anyone sells that hat. They absolutely should. They should so sell it. They should sell the actual hat version that's like whatever fabric. And then they should sell like a foam version that you can just wear.
Mm. Yep. Yep.
Like a joke hat. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so tailgate ready. I mean, everybody outside the game is going to wear those things.
100%. You are the life of the tailgate in that hat.
Oh, my God. Does it have a name? Does the mascot have a name?
Great question. Look that up, question. Somebody. Torp, look that up. I'm going to go on to Dennis Smith Jr.'s stats, his numbers, his analytics. 33 minutes for DSJ, 10 of 18 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 8 of 15 from the stripe. That's a little, you know, a little step.
That's college basketball right there.
That's fine. 4 boards, 6 assists, 2 steals, 32 points as a freshman.
Freshman. As a freshman.
Good God. According to ESPN, Smith's 32 points were the second most by a freshman at Cameron Indoor Stadium. That's fantastic. Dennis Smith Jr., just a whale of a game. I went into the play-by-play. He didn't just have 32 and 33 minutes as a freshman and all of those great stats. With 5 minutes left in this game, North Carolina State was down 7 points. Here's what happened. Mm-hmm. Here's the rundown. Dennis Smith Jr. had a rebound, a missed layup. He rebounded, got the offensive board, made 2 free throws after getting fouled. He cut the lead to 5. Then the next time down, Dennis Smith Jr. layup cuts it to 3. Next time down, Dennis Smith Jr. assist gets a teammate a dunk, lead down to 1. Then Dennis Smith Jr. hits a 3-pointer. NC State takes a 2-point lead. Dennis Smith Jr. assist leads to another dunk. Dennis Smith Jr. assist leads to a 3-pointer. Then a layup by Dennis Smith Jr. NC State takes a 6-point lead with just over 1 minute remaining. Those plays are back to back to back.
He did it at the end of the first half as well. NC State is down 12 with 30 seconds left in the first half. Dennis Smith Jr. goes for an and one layup to cut it to 9, then hits a buzzer beater deep 3. To cut it to 6 going into the half. He's got 18 in the first half.
Oh, what a gamer. Oh. What happened to Dennis Smith Jr.'s NBA career?
He's still going. He's on the Nets.
But why wasn't he awesome? Did he get injured? I feel like he got injured.
Probably some injury. Also, Dennis, it's hard to believe he's only 6'2", Neil.
Look at that. He's 6'2". How old is he right now? Is there a scenario where Dennis Smith Jr. has a rejuvenation where he comes back?
He's 25.
Holy shit. Dennis Smith Jr. is 25 years old? He's a kid. Yikes. That's crazy. Thing.
Yeah.
Dennis Smith Jr. also, of course, had the late steal and a buzzer-beaten dunk. That's what I'm calling it, the buzzer-beaten dunk. I actually think the episode of this podcast should be called Dennis Smith Jr.'s buzzer-beaten dunk.
That's funny.
Thank you. The last bit of analytics here, the Boston Celtics' Jason Tatum was only 1 of 4 from deep. He was only 1 of 2 from the free throw line with 2 turnovers and 3 fouls. Tatum did have other stats. I am willing to read them. But he knows what he has to do to make that happen. If you play for the Celtics, Rob, actually, please start censoring the word Celtics anytime I say this from this point forward in this episode. If you play for the Celtics, thank you, Rob, and you want to be supported on this podcast, you know what you have to do. You know what you have to do. If you don't, check your DMs. I've DM'd you what you have to do to be supported on this podcast. I've sent those instructions to you. You have them. The next credential is the ear test. Oh, Torp, did you look and see whether that hat has a name, whether they sell it?
The hat is a Navy hat, apparently. Okay. And it's because a lot of mascots that came out around that time that NC State was locking one in, they were wearing Navy hats. So a little bit of just like, this is apparently what we're supposed to do. Names are a little underwhelming. Tuffy Head is apparently it.
That's pretty good.
But it's spelled T-U-F-F-Y.
No, I like that. Nope.
All right. I'm not, I don't love Tuffy Head.
Okay. I do like it. Is NC State anywhere near the water? Near the?
I don't believe so. I believe it's in Raleigh.
It's like hours from the coast. Why did they do that? That's very weird that they went naval.
I'm on Quora, which is, you know, anybody can answer anything. So let's take it for what it is. Apparently, the other name for the mascot, which I'm way behind, is Mr. Woof. big Mr. Woof fan. Hey, you see Mr. Woof? What's up with that hat?
How do you spell the Tuffy? That's a tough hat, baby.
Woof spelled W-U-F.
W-U-F. Woof.
Yeah, Mr. Woof.
Woof.
This person says, when NC State decided to create a mascot, many colleges had animal mascots that wore the standard Navy sailor hat, and they went with that. At that time, these cotton hats came with a button at the top.
Yes.
So that's what they did.
Fantastic. The next credential is the ear test. What did we hear in this moment? Sean McDonough, who I actually really like here on the call. Let's listen to it together.
You foul before they can shoot a three. Down by two. Lost on the dribble, Tatum turned it over. The exclamation point by Smith will not count, but that doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter. It matters and it counts. Am I right?
Yeah.
It definitely matters, but it also matters because it doesn't count, which is really great. Yes,
that's right. Yeah. Actually, that's so much better. You're exactly right. It matters because it doesn't count. Oh my God, that's it. Completely. That's the sentence. That's a great American sentence right there. I'm taking that with me. That one's mine. I'm taking it with me. That dunk matters because it didn't count. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Also, I love that call because you can hear when the buzzer sounds, and then you can wait and then hear him call the dunk.
Yes. Oh, let's listen to it once more.
You foul before they can shoot a three. Down by two. Lost on the dribble. Tatum turned it over. The exclamation point.
It is a long period of time.
But that doesn't matter.
Oh my God. You're really right. You know what's? I thought this was going to be a negative. I was going to hold this against the moment because Sean McDonough has some great calls. I was going to say this goes down, but it's the exact opposite. This might be one of the strongest ear tests I've heard in this show's history.
Big time.
The length of time is substantial.
Mm-hmm. Get one more, one more time, please. Okay, I want to zero in on something.
You foul before they can shoot a three. Down by two. Lost on the dribble. Tatum turned it over. The exclamation point by Smith will not count. But that
so he's
matter.
Not, he's not ready to keep talking. He's almost out of breath.
Right.
Okay. Tatum lost a dribble, but it does something, and he's finishing. And then all of a sudden he has to find breath.
Yes.
Because something is happening.
Yes.
You hear him say, the explanation. Yes. That comes from he is clenching and finding
driving
extra air.
Yes.
Yeah, because all of a sudden he has to talk. He did not know he would have to talk.
And this guy does voiceover. Michael Torpy does voiceovers. He was supposed to do the voiceover for Applebee's, but he got fired and replaced.
too painful. I don't like
that
talking about
that.
That
is true, though, right?
It's very true.
You were there.
Painful.
You were supposed to do it. You got fired.
Correct, on the spot, in the middle of it.
You do some sort of weed killer. You did like pet food. Is that true?
I was the voice of a dog. Yeah, two separate dogs, one for a bank.
wait. You were the voice of...
I love a dog bank. Ooh, I'm going to give them a dog bank all my money.
You are the voice of two commercial dogs.
Two separate dogs, both time just dogs I was not seen, and I did not do a voice. I just did my voice, and they said, that sounds like a dog.
Got it. Yeah. And the Applebee's thing, again, going back to the Applebee's thing, that could have set your family up for a long, long time. Could have meant a great deal to your family. You got fired.
I wouldn't be here now.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, you wouldn't be doing this podcast if you had gotten Applebee's. Yeah. So the point is, you know voice work. You do that, and you realize that he's driving air at that point.
Yes. And the way you can hear him, he's combining the words like the explanation. It's the H. You hear a he explanation. He finds that H because that's what you put on the front of something sometimes when you need to get it out.
Right.
And he is he's caught off guard, but he also is a pro. So he's got to deliver that line and let the people know that something special is happening.
Just fantastic analysis there from the co-host, Michael Torby. And then I want to come back just one more because that sentence, it truly is a perfect sentence. I love perfect sentences. That this moment matters precisely because that dunk does not count. A perfect goddamn sentence. That's the pull quote, EJ. Get it ready for social, baby.
Put that up. Put that on a hat. Sell it at a tailgate.
Put it on a toughie.
Put it on a goddamn toughie. Oh my God. That's just fantastic. Okay. The next credential is our test of time. This is when we compare this moment against other moments like it in basketball or sports history. I can't think of any other dunks after the buzzer. Did anyone else find any dunks after the buzzer? Like anything that kind of directly compares to this?
So I didn't find anything that came after the buzzer. Yeah. I did find some good highlights that happened after a whistle.
Okay.
There's a really good Delonte West alley-oop to LeBron James where there's a whistle. Delonte West gets fouled as he's throwing it. LeBron James finishes like a double pump reverse alley-oop, which is really good. Also, there are a number of like when Steph Curry, there's maybe a whistle. Steph Curry will then like underhand.
Right.
Floater the ball 40 feet in the air and then it swishes. Those are pretty good.
There's that classic Allen Iverson gets fouled and then he shoots the ball like 50 feet up in the air. You remember that one? And it goes in. Mm-hmm. That's another good after the buzz.
So, but also dunk wise, there is that LeBron early Cleveland when he kind of takes off from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. Do you know that dunk? Mm-hmm. So although that dunk counts, which kind of takes away from it in this context. Yeah.
I think you're right. I think the dunk has to not count. I think that's going to be the differentiator. Also, Zion had that 360 windmill against Phoenix, like right as the game's, you know, running out, that that's everybody gets, you know, huffing and puffing and mad about. I love that stuff. I love that this works off of an unwritten rule. I love unwritten rules. I believe there should be more of them. Jamal Murray went for 50 with the Nuggets up. The game was over. They were playing the Celtics. Jamal Murray took a buzzer beater three to try to get 50. Kyrie ends up with the ball and thinking that Jamal Murray might want the game ball. Kyrie hucks it into the stands, which I really love. He's clearly ticked off and he like looks at him, dismisses him with like a hand flip and then just takes the ball and just absolutely hucks it deep into the arena.
Amazing.
To get rid of the game ball. That's so funny.
That is some real awareness too. Yes. I feel like in that moment, I'd be so upset we lost. This guy had 50. I wouldn't even be paying attention. Shout out. That's some real creativity.
Really good. That's villain shit. You gotta be like a villain to be in that mindset all the time.
the moment that I think is the biggest competitor here is Ricky Davis going after the triple double.
The triple double.
Yeah. Matt knows it. Torpy, do you know Ricky Davis's triple double?
Is that the guy who like threw himself a ball, a rebound?
Yeah. He goes to his team's basket, throws an underhand layup, just bangs it right off the bottom of the rim, trying to get the last rebound to get a triple double at the end of the game. And everyone is immediately incensed and pissed off at him.
Yes.
It's Ricky Davis. He's crazy. It's those old like mid-90s powder blue Cavs uniforms. Mm-hmm. It's such a pathetic attempt. It's so clear what he's doing. It's all about him. It's a competitor here. Matt, do you believe that, which if you had to, I'm not saying that one prevents the other from getting in, but if you had to say what's the better moment, Dennis Smith Jr.'s dunk, Ricky Davis's attempt at a triple-double?
I think Ricky Davis's attempt at a triple-double is funny, but Dennis Smith Jr. is just way more impactful. Okay. This thing is a major exclamation point. Ricky Davis, it's funny. People are laughing at him, you know?
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. And here we're all laughing at Duke.
I think, totally. What sets this apart is you were talking about those unwritten rules, Neil, how people get pissed. Okay, you're the game's over. What are you doing? Why are you taking that extra shot? Why are you doing a runaway dunk on this? This thing's done. But from the clips I saw, that doesn't happen. No one's like coming out. No one from Duke is coming over, getting in his face. Coach K isn't like going to the coach and be like, you got to get your boy over there. Like, because I think everyone in their heart knows that Duke deserves this.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is maybe the only arena where this goes okay.
Right.
Where like, even people at Duke know that they deserve it. They're like, we get it. Like, we're fucking Duke. Yeah, make us eat shit for a little bit. Like, of course.
Like,
of course.
If anyone was mad after the game, like if there's a Duke kid that loves Duke basketball and he's like so furious, he's like, can you believe that bullshit? He's in his dorm. And he's like, turns to his white college roommate. He's like, can you believe this bullshit? And the other guy almost.
Give him names. Give him names. Who are these guys?
It's Tyler and Troy.
Yeah.
Tyler tells Troy, can you believe that bullshit that Dennis Smith, can you believe what that fucking Dennis Smith Jr. did at the end of that game? And Troy, because he's a gamer and he fucking gets it, Troy goes, I mean, what do you want to do? What do you want him to do? Like, you knew that was coming. It is what it is, baby. Yeah.
Don't let him do it.
Yeah, don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. A fantastic point. Is anybody here particularly anti-Duke?
Oh, yeah, the appropriate amount.
Okay.
Yeah. The acceptable amount. Yeah.
You're both white, so that surprises me a little bit.
Well, yeah.
And I'd say you're both, like, very white.
Full. 100%.
Yeah, pretty white. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I won't play golf. I'm already white enough.
That's smart. Do you ever throw a frisbee?
Only because my younger daughter insists on it, but not outdoors.
I try. Yeah, don't go outside with it. Oh my God.
Let's call this segment White Talk. EJ, if you can, EJ's Filipino. EJ, if you can, help me find a sponsor for this segment of the show called White Talk. You guys just go for a couple of, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. There's so many good sponsors available.
Mm-hmm. You have the floor, you two. Go ahead. You've got 20 seconds of White Talk.
Yeah. How's it being white?
Oh God. Is it
working out?
Brutal, honestly. No. I mean, yeah, it always works out. That's what being white is all
thing.
About.
That's what
isn't great about it.
Do you feel appropriately bad about it or just like a little bit bad?
Absolutely bad about it all the time.
It's tough.
Yeah. Taking up too much space. Now here I am on a podcast, something I should never be allowed to do. The ratio in this podcast is already off.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It is. So... Yeah, I don't know.
And that's White Talk, brought to you by
Pick Your Own Apple Orchards. let people of color do all the work, and then you come in and pick it. Convince yourself you're a farmer.
Yeah, you're really cosplaying as a farmer for like, you get to cosplay as a farmer for a half hour.
Oh my God. People buy outfits just for that shit. Like, this is my apple picking outfit. Look at me. I'm picking apples today.
White people are unstoppable.
Oh man, we will not be denied.
Orchard. There's something about the word orchard that really landed on me there. Really good. Matt, you are a talented designer. This is a big, heavy question. I'm prepared to ask. You know I have a right answer. You probably know what it is because you listened to the show. What is the best sports branding? Now that I'm talking logo, name, colors, design, uniforms, the full style spectrum. Any sport, what is the best sports branding?
It's the Seattle Supersonics.
Wow. I mean, Torpy is nodding his head vigorously. Okay. Keep going.
That it's just a very strong answer.
It's a
the
very
green
answer.
And yellow.
Yep.
It's the Supersonics. I mean, it's Seattle. It's the cutting edge of the Pacific Northwest. You can't go wrong. And I know what you think the right answer is, and it's a good answer, but whew.
I think the answer is the Miami Dolphins. The Seattle, the S's of Seattle and Super Ooh. And Sonics, that the yeah. word Super is in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're right. The mm-hmm. cutting edge, like, you know, this is supersonic. It's like speaks to like the even the tech side shit. It's really, really good. The jerseys, they're classic jerseys. Those like Kemp, X-Man, early Gary Payton jerseys. Those are you could make the argument those are top five jerseys, NBA jerseys of all time. It's a really, really good answer. The Space Needles Incorporated, the half mm-hmm. ball and the logo. God, mm-hmm. I hope they go traditional when they come back. I hope they go super traditional.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
That's a good answer. Torp, do you have an answer for best sports branding of all time?
I mean, I'm all baseball. I love the old Expos jerseys. They're just so Ooh, yeah. classic. The color works so well. Yeah. And now that they're gone, it's the big bubbly font was yes. so charming.
It is. It really is.
Really charming. And the fact that it's like Canadian, it just all feels like fun and like
really good.
Come on down and play mm-hmm. some baseball, yes. you Expos.
Yes. Come watch some baseball. It's gonna come be a down. Blast.
We'll play on this like crazy old turf field. It's too cold. We shouldn't be doing this, but what the fuck? Let's go.
The answer mm-hmm. is the Miami Dolphins.
Hold on. I just want to talk about Supersonic for a second. Please. Because there are sports teams that are nouns, and then there are sports teams that are like ethereal things. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's something Supersonic is so there isn't even a graphic. There right. isn't an image. Like for the lightning, like lightning is ethereal, you know, but you can draw a lightning bolt. Heat. I don't love heat. Like as a name, heat falls. It's like the Miami temperature. Like it's just a little fucking weak, but you can still be a flame. But like supersonic. It's like sound is bursting. Yeah. Things are going so fast that it's breaking. Physics is happening. Like it's this amazing, it's something you cannot illustrate. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm.
You know what mm-hmm. it is? Can I tell you what it is? I just realized what it is. It's that you can add the S on the end.
Yeah, yeah. Supersonics. Somehow it's plural.
It's
yeah.
you can pluralize yes. that and everyone goes, I get it. You're talking about this collection of athletes that are playing this game together. It's that you can add the S because I agree yeah. with you. Miami Heat, it feels cute. It feels like it's trying too hard. But there's something about like you. I didn't even realize that Supersonics isn't a thing because when I hear Supersonics, I go right the team. But you're right. Yes. Supersonic is not a like a thing. It's not an animal. It's not a team. It's not a bird. It's not like a thing.
Can't touch it.
You can't touch it. Man, that's really good.
It's a state of being. Yeah, it's yes. a state. We are going into supersonic.
Right. Oh, it really is a fine answer. Again, it does not beat the Miami Dolphins because of the helmet and the dolphin wearing the helmet and the colors and all the stuff that I've said mm-hmm. multiple times before. Miami Dolphins is the right answer. But Supersonics, it's got to be right there. I'm going to put it 2 for the time being. It's a great answer.
Yo.
The next, we got to do a quick game here before we move on. Torpy invented this game when he and I went to a New York Metropolitans baseball game together. I was going to steal it and use it for my podcast, but now that he's a co-host, I can use it and credit him. The game is, Matt, you have the money to buy one authentic game weight jersey from the following sports franchises. You have to pick the jersey that would be best to buy.
Okay.
You're ready for this.
I'm ready. I'm
so it can be some combination of the best player that represents this team, but it could also be how killer would it be to have this guy's jersey? You get mm-hmm. what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can determine. All right, here we go. What is the best jersey for the Houston Astros?
Nolan Ryan with the stripes.
Yeah. Torpy's strong agreement. What about knuckleballer Mike Scott?
He didn't throw knuckleballs.
Oh, wait. Oh, what did he throw? He threw the split finger?
He threw fucking smoke, dude. That dude was terrifying.
I think he threw the split finger.
Mike Scott blazed through the 86 Mets lineup. If they didn't come back to win game 6 in Houston, they would not have been world champions. There'd be no Bill Buckner.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think he threw the split finger. I knew he had a specialty pitch. I misspoke in saying the knuckle.
I'm sorry. I'm still scared of that guy. Like, he was terrifying.
Do you have an answer for Houston Astros torpor? You going Nolan Ryan?
Jeez. Yeah, no, I mean, Nolan Ryan's, I think that's the right answer. Yeah,
okay. Torp, the question now is to you. You have to pick, you have the money to buy one game weight authentic jersey for the New York Metropolitans.
Gosh, I always come back to Rusty Staub.
Yeah.
I love Rusty Staub. Former Expo, Le Grand Orange, this big redheaded guy playing up in Montreal. What was he doing up there? Who let him up there?
Another perfect.
And then he came down to New York.
Another perfect sentence. I always come back to Rusty Staub.
I do. I love Rusty Staub. I didn't grow up watching him. Like, he barely was in the league by the time I was watching baseball. But yeah, what a name. No, are there still Rusties going around?
No.
Kids naming their kids Rusty?
Matt, do you have a name for New York? Or do you have a jersey for the New York Mets?
I don't know anything about Rusty Staub, but I think Mets, I got to go Keith Hernandez. Yeah,
Hernandez, I agree. I think it's that the pullover, right? Don't the Mets have that V-neck pullover?
Yeah.
White with the blue pinstripe?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous one.
Gorgeous. The short sleeves?
Yep.
Really, really good. I really like that. I'd go Daryl Strawberry. That's my answer. The next jersey is to you, Matt. I want you to buy one jersey from the Seattle Supersonics.
Now, the obvious answer is like a Kemp, but I feel like I should do something a little, you know, a little cooler than that. So I'm gonna go.
Yes, hold on. Before you answer, I agree with what you're doing. There, I have a right answer. I have an answer that I've picked. It is the right answer. But I just want to say immediately, you going away from the obvious here, because it is Seattle. Seattle has a vibe and an energy. I appreciate you going away. What is your answer?
Dale Ellis.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Dale Ellis is a great answer. It is not the correct answer, but it is a good one. Yeah, the correct answer would be Derek McKee. Derek, you telling me if you were wearing a Derek McKee jersey in Seattle that every dude you walked past in Seattle wouldn't stop you and be like, that jersey fucking kicks ass?
That might be an odd commentary on Seattle. If I could get a reaction to a Derek McKee jersey, I would be thrilled. Most likely I'm going to get a guy asking, you know, where the closest coffee shop is.
The next credential is our press conference. Any great quotes after this game? Yes, absolutely. There's a fantastic quote from NC State's coach Mark Gottfried. He's interviewed by ESPN, and as the interview starts, he grabs Dennis Smith Jr. and talks to him. Let's listen to it together.
I'm proud of these guys. Come in.
Matt, your thoughts on that interview?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a true love between Mark Gottfried and Dennis Smith Jr. Obviously, I am very unsettled by the use of boy in any conversation, especially
very
in this
hard
context.
To hear. Very
he
hard.
Hammers it home three or four times there. It's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. But I will say, you know, Mark Gottfried was also later charged with a series of violations connected to the recruiting of Dennis Smith Jr. and payments made. So I will use that information to not defend this amount of caucasity, but to say these guys really do love a trade. He was truly proud of Dennis Smith Jr. Okay. He's just speaking in a manner that I find unbecoming for sure.
The insertion of the W in the word boy, that right? It's like the boy.
Yeah. There's a twang there.
You play it again, Neil?
Sure.
No.
Sure. We're back into White Talk, brought to you by Pick Your Own Apple Orchards. Let's listen to this together.
I'm proud of these guys. Come in. From
So he's not the first one to say boy.
No, that's what? Who says it?
I hear it in the background.
I'm proud of these guys. Come in. From
I hate to tell you, Torb. I think it's Mark Godfrey turning away from the mic to say boy.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't because mm-hmm. He says something else. It feels like he's saying I'm proud of you, and then I don't know. It almost was like he was saying son, and then switched to boy.
Right.
And there's such a difference.
Right.
Between son and boy. The boy is damning. And also, like, maybe in a different accent.
Yeah.
You just can't say it and have that accent. You can't.
Maybe do one or the other. Probably not. But you definitely can't do both. Yeah.
Boy is tough no matter what.
Tough.
Boy is very tough. Yeah. But then boy.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like a non-starter. You can't do it.
It's really rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are very, very close. Their faces are very, very close.
They almost kiss on accident.
Yeah, it's like very, very close.
Oh.
Which I think the awkwardness of that, I don't want to say it offsets the B-W-O-Y. I'm not thrilled with the boy and the way it's used you two aren't either. But I do think how close they are and how awkward the whole moment is does give it a little of a lighter touch. I do think it's additive here. That's important. You need this type of stuff. You need this sort of hilarity to add to a moment to get it in the first Battle of Fame. We're not just going to get in by dunking a basketball after the buzzer. Listen, I hate to tell you, you need something else. And I appreciate that we have Mark Godfrey doing that. Another Mark Godfrey a note, fired at the end of this season, fired 1 month later after this game. It was allowed to finish the season. Interesting timing again. Matt says it's tied to the potential improper recruiting. I think maybe it's because he yells in a black point guard's face, "Bwah!"
Yeah.
I think that maybe has something to do with it too.
Not unrelated, his transformation into Foghorn Leghorn.
Who may also wear one of those hats. Can we confirm that Foghorn EJ, Leghorn has a Sophia?
Can you look that up, EJ, and let us know? Check the social for the answer there. Does Foghorn Leghorn wear that Tuffy hat? We'll find out there. The next credential, you mad. Torp, you mentioned it earlier on. No one really gets pissed. If Duke storms the court and fights, we're not even debating this. This thing is in the first Battle Hall of Fame before this podcast exists. If someone is pissed and starts a fight on this court.
It's true. And yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's missing something because nobody's all pissed off?
Yeah, exactly. It's missing a little something.
Here it is. The thing it's missing is Coach K. He's not there. Coach K had just had back surgery. He's not even at the game.
Right.
So I think it's safe to say he is somewhere absolutely furious.
Yes.
Number one, he's just had back surgery. Right. He's uncomfortable to begin with.
Uncomfortable, yes.
NC State comes in. They haven't won in Cameron Indoor in 22 years.
Right.
Not only do they lose to one of the worst teams in the ACC, he's mad about that to begin with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then Dennis Smith Jr. just absolutely demolishes this dunk well after the buzzer.
Right.
Not only that, there's an NC State fan who has somehow found his way to the front row under the hoop and is right there to celebrate. It is this huge moment. I guarantee Coach K is throwing anything near him. He's just not on camera.
That's a great point. The idea of him being bedridden, in pain, maybe his hair is a little sweaty because he hasn't gotten out and showered in a bit. Maybe there's like one of those little plastic jugs that you urinate into. And he's furious. He's got that scrunched up little red Krzyzewski face, and he's furious thinking about Dennis Smith. He's maybe talking to an assistant being like, help me pen a letter to Dennis Smith and NC State. I wanted to, deride and immediately come out against what happened there, make some sort of formal appeal to the NCAA. That the idea of that, imagining that, is helping me here. I appreciate that.
Yeah. We need to do like a freedom of information request and get his rehab charts and see like, what was this a turning point? Was there a setback? Did he like re-injure himself on this day, or did he double down and he was like, I got to get back sooner? And all of a sudden he was really driven.
I think there is a podcast provision in HIPAA where you can get like information like that for a podcast if it is helpful to the podcast.
Yeah, if it's a comedic podcast.
Right, you're right. If it's a comedic podcast, which this one I think just barely
Well, we've had a couple jokes this episode.
Are you saying that? I just
chuckled when you described his scrunched up red Krzyzewski face.
Okay.
Because that's what he has.
Yeah, you know what it looks like. You've seen it.
Oh, my God. I can picture it right now. I was also picturing him saying it, the way he would say boy, it wouldn't sound quite as racist.
No.
He's so tight. He's not loose with it. Because part of the racism comes from how loose your mouth is with the bah.
Yes.
But he'd be like, that boy. Mm-hmm. He's more like mad at the paper boy. Like, right. that boy put the paper in my bushes again.
You guys can't see it at home, but we've got a top flight Hollywood actor here doing a phenomenal Mike Krzyzewski mouth impression. I can see it. Purse lips very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Very kind. Thank you. Thank you. It comes from the whiteness of really not having lips.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
You have to be naturally thin lipped.
Really good. Really good. The next credential, we're going to fly through some quick credentials here. The next one, posterize any great images. There's a fantastic Dennis Smith Jr. dunk picture. It'll be all over the socials. Grant Halverson took it. It got posted on Reddit. STX Runner on Reddit wrote, "Oh man, this is full of this." This is his comment on this picture. STX Runner writes on Reddit, "Oh man, this is like a full-on surrender cobra nest because you've got all the Duke fans in the back with their hands on their head doing the surrender cobra." Do you know the surrender cobra, Torp?
No.
Oh, it's when the fan is like this. No! And they've got like their hands on their head and their hands create the hood of the cobra.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's called the surrender cobra. And he says, this is a full-on surrender cobra nest. We're going to put that on social. It's fantastic.
That's genius.
Twitter fingers. Any great tweets on this moment? Jake Pavorsky on Twitter wrote, Dennis Smith just threw down a dunk contest attempt at least 2 full seconds after the buzzer sounded. So dope. I love that from Jake. It's a great moment. The comment section is the next credential. Any other great comments? Ryan Running Wolf 8274 on YouTube said, love that dunk at the end. Hell yeah. Robbie, give me an oh hell yeah.
Oh hell yeah.
Robbie, give me another oh hell yeah.
Oh,
oh.
Oh hell yeah.
Thank you so much. The next credential
God damn,
is our X Factor. What everybody knows what an X Factor is. Matt, do you have an X Factor for this moment?
I don't know. It might. I don't know. I have a real thing for this NC State fan in the front row. This guy is just by himself.
Oh, I love it.
He's at the baseline. Imagine the experience this man is having in Cameron Indoor. He's wearing red. Everyone around him is in blue. The game has ended. His team just won. And Dennis Smith is coming right at him. Full blast.
Has his arms wide open to receive him. It's a beautiful moment. Super additive here. I love that. My X Factor, Omer Yurt 7, did play in this game. I love a good name. Omer Yurt 7 played in this game like 8 minutes or something. Had a bad game. Doesn't matter. Omer Yurt 7 in the official accounting for this game, and that matters.
Well, I love the Duke is all about the jumping. The fans are always doing the jumping.
Yes.
You know, like, our team's going to win. We're jumping all together. We're doing
a synchronized thing.
We're synchronized the jumping thing, and they're all jumping. Because like they've got the ball and here, this is our chance to win. And then as the steal happens and Dennis Smith Jr. is coming back up court, you see like this slow trickle of people that like maybe are a little slow on the uptake. And they're like, most people have stopped jumping.
Right.
But there's like 2 or 3 continued bounces as he is headed towards the rim. People that like didn't quite get the memo, like, hey, we stopped jumping. We're about to lose.
This
guy's going to murder our rim.
It's petering out.
Yes.
The synchronization is petering out. And there are nerdy Duke students that don't realize the game's over. That's a blast.
Yes. They like the ones that like need to be tapped on the shoulder and be like, hey, you got to jump. We're all jumping. And they're like, got it. Jump. I'm jumping now.
College.
College. Oh, look at him. A fifth row. This is amazing.
Matthew, something I've learned about you as we've sort of become friends online over time here is that you're getting your daughters into the game of basketball. Torpy has some daughters as well. Matthew, tell us all about why it's important for you to get your girls into the game.
Just because I...
Oh, I'm so sorry. We've run out of time for that because it's time for something more
fucking got him.
Important.
Fucking got him.
Got him.
Fucking got him. Oh, Matt, you got fucking got so bad. He was really going to answer that shit. Nobody fucking cares.
Nobody gives a shit about your
Nobody
topic.
Fucking cares, dude.
I just want to say I knew that was coming.
And whatever, dude. Whatever. Take your fucking buzzer and get the fuck on to more important. More important, here we are, is America's favorite podcast segment. I'm about to ask you a series of questions, Matt. Your answers to these questions will define who you are as a person on this planet. Are you ready for more important?
Yes.
Oh, my God. What is your favorite beverage?
Chocolate milk.
Oh my God.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
The amount, let me tell you, your core training was really on full display there, Torb, as you really gritted and bared down and really went hardcore with the celebration on chocolate milk.
Let me tell you, man, that answer is so goddamn good. Milk is fantastic. Milk is so good on its own, but wham, chocolate milk. Oh, it should be illegal. Oh,
man. You ever go to the nice grocery store and buy expensive chocolate? Oh boy.
Yeah. Crazy. My kids we go to the farmer's market and they're like, get me that chocolate milk. Ooh. And we get it from the farm stand. It is high test. It is pure stuff.
Uncut chocolate milk. More important at this point, it's gotta be going downhill at this point, the rest of the segment. That's a shame, but I'm glad it started so high. All right. It's breakfast. Next question. It's breakfast. It's breakfast time. Ooh. You're going hog wild. No holds barred. You can order whatever you want to order. What are you getting?
Two eggs over, sausage, home fries, rye toast.
Fuck.
Black coffee.
Hold on. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Then he had that right in the holster and pulled it out like that?
Have you eaten today?
That's a great follow-up.
That's that East Coast small town diner. Yeah. Everybody's got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know,
listen,
it's on
you
deck.
Don't have to fucking tell us, Matt. You don't have to tell us how great that order was. You Thank having you. That right on the tip of your tongue. He did not know. I want to be clear. He did not know that was coming. This is a fantastic more important right now. From absolutely clipping you talking about your daughters to the chocolate milk to having that question ready out of the holster. Fantastic so far.
Thank you.
Matthew, you're an old man. What happens today? What's something that happens in today's society that makes you feel very old? Mine is when people call outfits fits. I hate that. I loathe fits. That. Do you have something that makes you feel very old?
Just TikTok in general. Yeah. Hearing people talk about TikTok. I've never looked at it or have an account. So I'm like, oh, this tech thing is now taking over. And this is my kind of exit off the highway That's moment. Right. So yeah, that hurts.
Even the name TikTok makes me feel... like I'm gonna die. Matthew, what is your dream pair of sneakers?
Cement threes in white, I think. Yeah,
very good. What is the best sports movie? The best sports movie.
It's Hoop Dreams.
Yeah, it's a very good one.
Some brutal points, but I haven't watched it in a while, but I mean,
I'll killer. Actually go further and say my guess is I haven't seen it in a while either. My guess is it's even better now.
I bet it is. Yeah. I bet it is. Yeah.
Matt, next question. Who is pound for pound? Who is the hardest dunker? Pound for pound, who's the hardest dunker?
I hate to say that. I think it's Zion Williamson. Has anyone ever dunked as hard as Zion Williamson can dunk or has dunked previously?
Rodney Rogers.
Whoa, Rodney Rogers. Antonio smash. McDice?
Dice. Oof. Fucking yokes. Dice fucking yokes. That's a great. I mean, I listen. That is your answer. You've already submitted it.
We're
gonna move on. I think you gotta go like
Sprewell.
No. I'm sorry. That's you. I won't allow that. It's a great. That's a great idea. And if Torpy wants to take Sprewell now and win this round, he can.
Well, I don't want to just take it. I mean, I'll take Sprewell.
Okay. So Torby wins.
That's a good win.
Torby wins that.
Okay.
Last...
Does Zion get pissed? Does Zion get fired up and shit? Like, it just feels a little flat.
Yeah.
He's I just feel huge. Like his
obviously fit... pound for pound. He's very strong, but where's the fucking fire?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Matt, I don't know, Matt. No, it's a great point. Point well made. Matt, last question. I need you to name something that really kicks ass.
Dunks.
Dunks, yeah. Dunks. Yeah. Slam dunks.
I can't do it. It looks like it would feel like the best thing on earth, which is probably why Dennis Smith did it.
And you've never dunked a basketball.
I did dunk a basketball once in college.
Wait, no, what? No tramp off what? 1 foot, 2 foot?
1 foot on like a light alley-oop, like an underhand alley-oop.
Amazing.
Okay. Pretty good. Pretty good. You're what? You look like you're what? 5'7"? 5'8"? You look small. I can't tell because I'm 6'3".
I know. I'm barely masculine.
Let me say there's nothing funny or non-masculine about being 5'7 or 5'8.
I'm 6'3 and a hulking 6'3. We talked about the Anthony Mason angle. I'm a hulking 6'3, so you guys all look like you're in that 5'6-ish range to me.
Sure.
A great job on More Important. Really well done. It's time for the cosign. Matt Hollister, lead creative at Google. Does Dennis Smith Jr.'s dunk against Duke after the buzzer-beaten dunk, does it belong in the First Ballot Hall of Fame, and why?
I think it absolutely does. Not only does this moment not count toward the game, it is like a emphatic moment, which really fits with the theme of this podcast. The moment I started listening to this podcast, I thought about this moment because it didn't count, but it was so intensely hilarious and meaningful in a insane way. So Dennis Smith Jr.'s dunk against Duke way after the buzzer, I feel like it's in a category of its own. Goddamn. And it probably should go in the Hall of Fame.
Wow. It's time for our co-host, Mr. Michael Torpy. You were in a Hanes commercial with Michael Jordan. You got fired from Applebee's. Ted Lasso took your job. We've mentioned that.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you think Dennis Smith Jr.'s dunk belongs in the First Ballot Hall of Fame?
You know, it could only, so many things come together in this moment. This could only happen and have so much meaning that it's happening at Duke, against this team that everyone knows is this franchise that is always so good, but everyone wants them to lose except for their little bubble of like cult like love, which is very creepy. The fact that the partnership between Dennis Smith Jr. and his most likely racist coach led to that coach later being fired because he brought him there illegally. Yep. And, you know, was this moment enough? Did that coach look back and say, hey, this was worth it? We had this moment against Duke. We broke this streak of over 20 years of losses at Cameron Indoor. But all that said, I don't personally think it goes to the rafters. Wow. Because I just don't see the full lasting impact.
Wow.
Of this dunk moment. I love it personally as a personal moment to say, like, I hate this team so much, I'm going to rip this thing, even though it will not count. But I think it's missing some of the overall lasting cultural importance.
Wow. Now, are you saying, do you really believe that, or are you making good content right now by tying it and sending it to me?
I absolutely am just trying to steam this up. I love it. Fuck Duke. And I mean, you can drop a turd in their bushes, I'd put it in the Hall of Fame. That school sucks. Everybody that goes there sucks. And I love that he fucking cemented the ball on their court and told them all to eat shit. It was fantastic.
It really is. This is time for the induction speech. It's when I get to decide whether this thing goes in. I can tell both these guys to fuck off. We have two yeses. And here's the thing. I could go no, and because it's my fucking Hall of Fame, I can do whatever the fuck I want. That's the truth. I do want to say this is near perfect moment selection. Near perfect moment selection. And the sentence from earlier, this dunk mattered because it didn't count. To use the call to come up with that sentence and have that sentence actually tie into the premise of this show, this is a podcast about the sports moments that matter. This moment matters because that dunk did not count. When I was like sitting here at the finish line going, does this dunk belong in the First Ballot Hall of Fame? I get drawn back to NC State absolutely shitting the bed after this game. Losing 10 of their last 11 games. And if you believe in the basketball gods and you believe that the basketball gods punished your team for this act of defiance, this act of war, this act of aggression and violence against the Duke Blue Devils in Cameron Indoor, can you look back and go, it was worth it? And I think the answer to that question is,
oh, hell yeah!
Welcome to the First Ballot Hall of Fame, Dennis Smith Jr., Matt Hollister, Michael Torpy, NC State, the Tuffy Hat, Mr. Wolf. Congratulations, your moment is in the First Ballot Hall of Fame.
Yes.
That's a big deal. That's a big get, Matt. Congratulations.
Feels really, really proud of all the work we've done here today.
A unanimous 3-0 really vote. It'll be curious to see how many unanimous 3-0 votes we end up having. In the First Ballot Hall of Fame. It was a really good episode, guys. I really appreciate it. Matt, what are you working on? How can people follow you and support you, sir?
Oh, I'm just making stuff at Google and making stuff for myself. You can find me on Instagram at Matthew Hollister.
Fantastic, Matt. I really appreciate you coming on the show, and thanks so much for listening and for executive producing now two of these episodes.
Yes. Thanks for having me, everybody.
That's it. That's the show. My thanks to Mr. Matt Hollister for coming on, for picking this moment, and for teaching me about it. Very few moments in sports better illustrate what the First Ballot Hall of Fame and the corresponding First Ballot Hall of Fame podcasts are about better than this. Thank you for that follow and support, Matt, and his work. Give it up for Mr. Michael Torpy, co-host extraordinaire. The people have spoken. They love Torp on the show. Message heard loud and clear. More Torpy soon. Rob, Bob, Jessica, EJ, Rhythm, J, DA at Balls Life. That's the team. That's my credits. My thanks to them. And my thanks to you for listening. Please rate and review us if you would, please. It'd be a holiday thanks to us. And please come back next week for more First Ballot.
Fucking got him.